and welcome to another episode of Unashamedly Human. I believe this one to be episode 34, but I'm not quite sure off the top of my head and can't quite be bothered to double check. So we'll run with 34. Welcome to episode 34 of Unashamedly Human, the podcast. My name is Emily Chadbourne and I recorded this episode live from a video that I did over in That Crazy Thing Called Life, which is my free Facebook group. And if you're not a member of that group yet, you probably want to be. So head to the show notes, find the link, go ahead and request to join. We have a no twats policy. Other than that, if you're not a twat, you're more than welcome in the group. At the moment, while we're going through this weird global pandemic, I am live in that group 6 mornings a week, Monday through to Saturday at 7:30 a.m. Melbourne time, where I am delivering heaps and heaps and heaps of videos to help you manage your mind as we move through this tricky time of being alive. Before we get on with today's episode, I'm just going to shamelessly plug myself, just for a second. So if you've loved this episode, what I'd really love you to do is to share it. You can go to Spotify and share it direct to your social media. Please use the hashtag UnashamedlyHuman and you can tag me on your Insta stories, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review. It really helps other people find this content. And of course, there is always good old word of mouth. You just tell everybody about it. Hey, I listened to this awesome podcast the other day with this weird little swearing British chick called Emily Chadbourne. It's called Unashamedly Human. It's great, Barbara. You should have a listen to it. And while you're at it, you should probably tell your mate Barbara that I got it wrong. It's actually episode 35, not episode 34. I could go back and record this whole intro bit again, but I'm not gonna. Now, let's just get on with the episode. Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne. And welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcast. Discipline is something that I've realised that I have become. And actually, a friend of mine pointed it out to me a few days ago. She said, you are very disciplined. And it shocked me because I would not call myself disciplined. I would not call myself disciplined because it's a shit name. I wouldn't call myself disciplined because I never was. I always had a relatively good work ethic that my parents installed into me, but I would never really see things through to the end. I wasn't very good at doing that. For a long time, the only discipline I really had over myself was to ensure that the bottle of wine was finished before I went to bed. So it was quite a shock to realise that that's actually an attribute that I have witnessed and seen in other people and taken on in myself, whether consciously or unconsciously, because I have realized that it is a key, not just to success, not just to financial abundance, not just to good physical health, and not just to having really solid, great relationships, but more importantly, discipline is the key to peace. Because without discipline, it is impossible to build the level of self-trust and self-worth that you need to be in a place of peace when externally the shit show could be raging around you. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like over the last few weeks I haven't been affected by what's happening globally. I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't felt fear or I haven't felt anxiety or I haven't felt bemused or I haven't felt worried and I haven't felt doubt and I have, because I'm fucking human. I want to feel those things. I want to be able to access the full spectrum of my vibrational frequency, my emotional frequency. I want to.
That's what it is to be a fucking live. I don't want to be flatlining. I want to know I'm alive. But I haven't felt out of control. Now, let me explain what I mean by control. I'm acutely aware I do not have control over the universe. I don't have control over the sun rising. I've never commanded a tide. I don't decide who lives and who dies. I have no control over the universe at all. But I have a deep control over my internal dialogue with myself, with the way that I think, with my spiritual practice, and I connect into the divine intelligence that I consider to be God, that runs through me, that runs through you, that runs through the plant next to me, that runs through Theodore, that runs through the sky. I connect in with that on a regular basis, and I trust myself enough in the connection of that to know that even though I don't have control over what planet is forming right now, or what star is dying right now, or what bird is flying in the sky right now, I am part of this massive, massive ball of energy called life. And so whatever unfolds around me, I will be okay. I do feel looked after and supported. That doesn't mean I don't have moments where I'm in fear and doubt and anxiety. Human. But I feel supported. I trust. I have great faith. I trust. Do I believe in God as in a religious identity that is sitting up there with Jesus and Mary? No. But do I believe in God, the divine intelligence that is the universe? Yes. And I connect to that on a daily basis, and I have huge trust because of that. Now, I don't want anyone to interpret that as a nihilistic thing, like, I've got no control, fuck it, I've got no control, so I just surrender my free will. Because that is dangerous. I think we have huge influence. Global change comes from individuals. Individuals band together and global change happens. And so I think now more than ever, it is so important that you realize that you might not have control. We don't know when this is going to end. We don't know how long this is going to last for. We don't know what's going to happen to the economy. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not in control of it. You're not in control of it. No one's fucking in control of those massive big picture things. But what we have influence over is how the new world looks after this, because I think this pandemic has thrown up, and I think it is actually a global physical manifestation of how we have been working as a species, and I think it is opening more and more conversations, which I think are really needed, around what are we doing? Like, where is the distribution of wealth? How did that go so wrong? Why are there health services that are crippling? Why are there people who are without food, without shelter, without safety? Not just in this pandemic, but ever. And it's like this pandemic has come over like this massive magnifier over humankind and going, oh, this is where you're fucking up, this is where you're fucking up, this is where you're fucking up. And I believe we have a chance to do something about that. And I think that comes from individual work. Because while we are all in a collective space of fear and distrust, and we do not have the discipline to be connected to each other, to ourselves, to the divine global intelligence, then I think we will continue to perpetuate a world of fear. I think we will continue to perpetuate a fragmented world where some people are rich and some people don't even have the food to feed their dying children. I think we will continue to live in a world where suicide is on the rise, where mental health is spiraling out of control. And I think we have the chance now to do something about that. And I think it starts with self-discipline. Because global change happens in the individual. There are three areas of my life I've realized I'm very disciplined in. And the first one is my thoughts. I am so disciplined in the way that I think. I will continue to apply discipline to my thinking between this particular moment right here, right now, to the very day that I die. So what do I mean by applying discipline to my thoughts, and why is it important? I think when we don't have discipline. So most of our thinking is unconscious. 98, roughly, percent of what happens in our brain is completely unconscious. Now, obviously, there is the divine intelligence that is happening, which means, like, your cells are reproducing, the cut on your hand is healing, you know, your heart is beating, your lungs are breathing. Like, miracles. People are like, I don't have any miracles. You are a miracle. You're a walking miracle. It's amazing what nature is. Like, it's godly, right? I consider nature to be God. It is to be revered, and it is sacred, and it is phenomenal. It blows my mind. And so most of what we are thinking, most of what is happening in our physical vessel, really completely unconscious. And a lot of the thoughts that we have are mostly unconscious too. Sometimes they are interpreted by us as feelings or reactions to things. You know, quite a lot of the time I'll find myself procrastinating. So I stop and I pay attention to that procrastination. I don't just sit there and go, oh God, I'm a worthless piece of shit. I said I was going to do that piece of work today and I didn't do it. Fucking hell, Emily. God, you're a wasted piece of space. I'm going to get that massive tub of Ben and Jerry's out of my freezer. I'm going to sit on the sofa. I'm going to watch Tiger King. I'm going to write off the rest of the day. I'm going to ask myself, well, sometimes I do open that Ben and Jerry's and sit on the sofa and write off the rest of the day, because I think that's also a divine part of being a human being. But I'm going to ask myself what that procrastination is. Where has that procrastination come from? What thought am I having that is holding me back from doing the thing that I want to do? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it unworthiness? Is it worrying that if I put that blog up that someone's going to judge me? Am I freaking out because I'm getting closer to the success I say that I want, but underneath I've got some deep pattern around what success means that might not be resourceful to me? What if I start earning more money than my friends and my friends don't like me anymore? I'm going to dig deep in that. I'm not going to let that thought remain unconscious so that it controls and dictates my life, especially if it is creating a manifestation that I don't want. So I'm very disciplined. When I see myself behaving, when I see myself thinking, when I see myself feeling a certain way that isn't in line with the version of me that I want to be, or the action that I want to take, or the manifestation that I want to be happening in my immediate world, then I will sit with that with discipline, with a pen and paper, and I'll journal it out. I will filter myself. What's that thought? Where's that coming from? Why does it feel like this? I delve into my brain, and there are so many tools and techniques that I teach my clients about how to do this. But for now, the one thing I want to give you is the thing that I use on the most regular basis, because it doesn't take time. You don't have to sit down with a pen and paper to do this exercise. You can literally do it on the fly wherever you are, whatever is going on around you, and no one will know that you're doing it. And I call it, very simply, the second thought, which goes like this. My first thought, normally I can't fucking dictate. My first thought, quite often, is one of unworthiness, not being good enough, probably should try and move away from failure as quickly as possible by not even trying. That's my default setting. Now, I know enough, and I've done enough work, and I take my clients through this as well, through my Unashamedly Human program. I know where those stories have come from. I know why I have those stories, and I have a process to help me reprogram those stories. And again, I teach this to my clients through Unashamedly Human. But on a day-to-day basis, even though I'm reprogramming these stories, these unresourceful thoughts that are creating unresourceful behavior in me, that are manifesting in my physical reality in a way that I don't want. I still haven't written that blog. I'm still not pushing my business forward. I'm still maintaining the same yo-yo diet. I'm still insert whatever it hit, whatever pattern you're currently in, whatever loop you're in. And so I gently and kindly and with compassion to myself, I will hear my first thought, and quite often I hear it through a feeling. Or I feel the resistance of it, or I witness myself doing a certain behavior. And sometimes I just hear the voice in my head, like, you are shit, Emily. I'm like, oh God, well, okay. There's that voice. And with love and compassion, My second thought has to override my first thought. I'm not going to berate myself for having the first thought. I'm not going to be angry at the first thought. I'm not going to tell the first thought to fuck off. Fuck off, fear. Fuck off, doubt. There's no point. It's part of me. I'm not going to tell part of me to fuck off. I want to love me. I want to hold me. I want to trust me. I want to nurture me. So instead, very gently and very kindly and very compassionately, I'm going to hear that first thought. And then I'm going to come up with a second thought that needs to counteract that first thought. So for example, it might be, oh my God, you're a worthless piece of shit. No one wants to read your writing, Emily. The second thought needs to be, hey, you know what? I don't think that's true. I think there are some people out there who are really going to appreciate what I'm going to write. Doesn't need to be everybody. Not everybody is going to read this book. Not everyone's going to appreciate that blog. Not everyone's going to agree with my point of view. But some people I'm going to really be able to help with this writing. So I appreciate that you're trying to keep me safe by telling me I'm a worthless piece of shit. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this piece of writing anyway. I'm going to choose the salad anyway. I'm going to lean into this difficult conversation anyway. I'm going to assert my boundary anyway. And so I'm very disciplined with my thinking. I'm very disciplined with my mindset. Because I know that unchecked, my thoughts will create my physical manifestation. And when I look at the first 34 to 35 years of my life, it didn't get me good shit. It really didn't. And I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't really like who I was. And so now I'm very disciplined with my thoughts. So the next thing that I am very disciplined about, number two, I'm very disciplined about what I feed myself. Now don't misinterpret this to mean that I live on fucking mung beans and spinach. Because that's not what I mean. In fact, of all of the areas of life, when it comes to feeding myself, probably what I physically put into my body is the area where I'm not as disciplined as others. Because I was born with a sweet old tooth. What I mean by what do I feed myself? There are kind of four areas. The first is obviously physically. What do I feed my physical body? Like I said, I've got a very sweet tooth. I've tried giving up sugar before and I didn't enjoy my life, so I stopped fucking doing that. But I am much more disciplined these days around the quantity of shit that I put in my body. I am quite disciplined about how much water I drink, very disciplined about how much tea I drink. Tea is a beautiful medicine. It can really help heal you. And I'm not just talking about sinking down like builder's Tetley tea. I'm talking like yogi tea and spiced chai teas and cacao if you can get your hands on some, not hot chocolate, different thing. So what I physically nurture my body with, because one of the things that I'm learning more and more and more is that for whatever reason, I was like given this being, this physical being, and I was asked to be the custodian of it. That's how I'm beginning to see this. For whatever reason, and I don't understand, I don't know what happened before I was born, and I don't know what's going to happen after I die. I only have various working hypotheses that I kind of like loosely entertain, but I do know that for whatever reason, I was given this particular body to inhabit, and at some point, I must have thought, yes, I will look after that. I will be the custodian of that. And so that is more and more how I'm trying to see my physical body, as opposed to I need to lose weight, I'm not tall enough, my nose is too big, I need to get dental work done, I've got wobbly thighs, getting older sucks. Instead of that narrative, which I held for a very long time, ironically, now my body is a bit flabbier than it's ever been, and it is, you know, getting older. I love it even more because I'm really learning that I've been gifted this body and asked to look after it. And so that's what I attempt to do now on a daily basis. And so when I say, what do I feed my body? I don't just mean food. I mean like how much air, how much fresh air, how often can I get that heartbeat racing? And not like through a panic attack, but like through a run. You know, how strong can I create this vessel? You know, how can I nurture it and love it? How can I make sure it's got enough sleep? Remember those weird little things that, what were they called? Someone help me out. They were on a, like a key ring and they were like virtual pets from like the early 90s. And you kind of like had to make sure it had enough sleep and it had enough food. That's kind of how I feel about my body now. So what do I feed myself physically? And that includes exercise. It's really important. I have a strong discipline over that because I've begun to really sink into this idea that I have been Tamagotchis. Yes, I'm a Tamagotchi. What I feed myself mentally, very important. I'm more disciplined on what I feed myself mentally, I think, than any of the other areas that I want to go through with you. So the first one is physically, the second is mentally. I don't watch the news. I don't watch reality TV. I refuse to live in a world where it is acceptable to be that conniving or that bitchy or it's just, yeah, nah. I refuse to listen to the radio. I'm really careful about the conversations that I have with people. I don't tolerate behaviours that I used to tolerate in terms of gossip and negativity. I surround myself with positive people who meet their problems head on. That doesn't mean they don't bitch and moan about their problems because fucking human, right? I'm not moving towards enlightenment here. I'm being very human about how I do life. Of course, when we have a bad day, we bitch and we moan about it. But then it's like, right now, what's the solution to it? I am very careful about not having my own victimhood stimulated by watching other people in their victimhood. So I'm very careful about what I feed my mind. I listen to podcasts, I listen to a lot of music, I listen to lots and lots of mantras, I read lots and lots and lots of books. Mainly, I'm going to be really honest, fiction books. You know, I think people think I sit here and I read deep philosophy or I, you know, read personal development. Most of the books I read are just fiction because I find out so much about people and it makes me feel warm and fuzzy. The third area around what I feed myself is what I feed myself spiritually. And when I talk about spiritually, what I mean is where's my level of friendship? That's what I think spirituality means for me. Where is my level of friendship? Mainly with myself and the universe, but also externally with other people who are moving through this universe at the same time as me. I fucking love my friends, and that connection, that level of connection is deeply, deeply, deeply important to me. And so I'm acutely aware of the discipline that I have around my friendships and showing up for my friends and being there for my friends whilst maintaining primarily a really, really healthy boundary around my own friendship with myself, which has to be the most important. And then the fourth of this little bit was creativity. What do I feed myself creatively? And I think for a really long time, I didn't have a creative outlet and I didn't even think I was missing it because I'd always told myself I was not very creative. That was one of the stories that was running unconsciously in my head. I'm not creative because what I thought creative meant was, can you paint? Can you sculpt? Can you write music? Now, I'm telling you right now, I can't do any of those things, nor do I enjoy those things. I don't enjoy picking up a paintbrush. I don't enjoy doodling. I never have, I never will. But I have a great outlet now in creativity when it comes to telling stories, when it comes to delivering content, when it comes to writing. And reading for me is part of my creativity as well. And so I'm very careful around the discipline I have around creativity. And do I have I portioned out time in my day to be creative today? Because I think that is part of your spiritual development. So, I'm very disciplined about what I feed myself physically, mentally, spiritually, and creatively. And then the third place in life that I know I'm very disciplined is with my spiritual practice. And again, what I mean by spiritual practice is how well do I love, know, trust myself and the universe? And the beautiful thing about that is the more I know about myself, the more I realize I don't know. And the more I learn about the universe, the more I realize I don't know, because that's the great paradox of life. And I think that's an amazing adventure to be on. And it's one that I am excited to be on for the rest of my life. What else can I unlearn? And in its place, what else can I find out? And then what can I disprove from what I've just found out? And then what do I need to unlearn in the next stage? It's fucking awesome. And so my deep spiritual practice for me involves waking up at about 5:15 every morning and meditating, and then 5 days a week doing at least an hour, if not a 90-minute Kundalini practice. Now, I have been working up to that for about 4 or 5 years. So I'm not saying everyone needs to start waking up at 5 a.m. And it doesn't always sit well with me working up. I'm not like, oh, I've woken up at 5 a.m, guys. I can't wait to meditate. No, normally when my alarm goes off at 5 a.m, I'm like, what the bollocking fucking hell is this shit? Go the fuck back to sleep, chatborn, immediately. But next to my phone, which I don't keep in my room because I'm disciplined about what I feed my mind and I refuse to scroll through Instagram last thing at night, but I don't actually trust myself not to do that if my phone's on my bedside table, so I leave my phone outside of my bedroom, and when it goes off, I have to get out of bed to turn the alarm clock off. And next to my alarm clock, every night I write, and it's different every night. It's not just the same post-it note. Every night I write it out. There's something neurologically that happens when you write out a word. So every night I write on a post-it note with a Sharpie the word integrity, and I place it next to my phone, and the next morning when I wake up and my first thought goes, go back to bed, chatborn, my second thought looks at the post-it note and goes, integrity. I need to build integrity with myself today. And integrity means doing the things that nobody else is impressed by. It's doing the things that nobody else is witnessing you doing. It's the small things that are between you and yourself. That's building integrity. And when I sit in that level of integrity with myself, I build intense trust with the universe. And when I'm in an intense trust with the universe, I'm okay about the fact that I can't control the universe. And I can feel a sense of peace, even in those moments of like, what the hell is going on? Like, I'm still okay. That doesn't mean I don't have the hard feelings. It means I don't resist the hard feelings. When you learn not to resist a hard feeling, you can surrender to the experience of it, because the pain is always in the resistance. I feel anxious, I can't feel anxious, why am I feeling anxious? And then you begin to feel anxious about feeling anxious, or you begin to feel shame about the judgment that you've just put on somebody else. Instead, you just sit there and you're like, huh, I really judged that person then. That's so interesting. I might come back to that a bit later with a journal and a pen. Maybe I won't. Or, you know, you feel anxious, you're like, wow, right now I am feeling anxiety. I'm gonna sit with that for a minute and I'm gonna let it come through me, and then I'm gonna let it leave me. And if it had a message for me, I'm gonna hear it. And so that has taken me years to build up to, but it is absolutely what I teach my clients to do. So for me, and I'm not saying you all need to go and start meditating every day, or like, I meditated off and on for a couple of years and I was into it, then I was out of it, and then I did it for a bit, and then I didn't do it for a bit, and then I did it and I thought, oh, I've worked out how to meditate now, so I don't need to do it anymore, and then realize that it's like going to the gym, you have to do it forever. It's a lifestyle choice. It's not, you know, a 12-week program that you do to get yourself in shape for a particular wedding or a party or, you know, a bit of your life. It's forever. Your spiritual practice can mean anything. It doesn't necessarily mean meditation. Maybe it means speaking really kindly to yourself today. Maybe it means sitting with a journal and a cup of coffee every single morning for 10 minutes and just allowing yourself to put yourself down on a piece of paper that nobody else is going to read, so that you can better learn about yourself. Maybe it's standing in nature every single day, taking your shoes and your socks off, whether it's raining, whether it's sunny, whether it's windy, whether it's icy, whether it's by the ocean, whether it's by a tree, whether it's in your back garden, and just standing up and looking at the sky and understanding that you are part of something that is a fucking miracle. Whatever your spiritual practice is, have a discipline around it and build integrity with it. Because from that place of integrity, you will begin to feel a deep sense of trust and connection that transcends what is happening externally to us. And that's how you get through the shit bits. That doesn't mean shit bits don't happen. It doesn't mean you don't feel the shit bits. It's just a gentler way of getting through the shit bits. And some of the effects that this sort of level of discipline has had for me, my God, like, the effect has been on my business, it's amazing. And, you know, I quite often get asked, how have you had such a level of success so quickly? Now, success is really relative, and, you know, it's funny because it doesn't feel like I've done any of this quickly. It feels like I've done it fucking wading through treacle, and it's felt very hard, and it's felt very long, and it's felt very relentless, and it's asked me to come up with a huge amount of tenacity that I didn't even know that I had, and a massive amount of resilience to get back up again on the days when it felt really, really tough. And those early years, it felt tough on more days than it felt good. But what I've manifested in business is a direct result of of the relationship that I've had with myself. The next effect that it's had for me, these three areas of discipline in my life, my thoughts, what I feed myself, and my spiritual practice, have been in my friendships and my relationships, and really learning to be brave and having boundaries and saying no when something doesn't serve me. And as a result of that, being able to be a better friend and a better leader and a better coach and a better sister and a better daughter, because my boundaries are so solid that I never feel compromised or like I'm in resentment to anybody else. Like, you can't cross my boundary, so I can't be resentful towards you. So I'm always in compassion and love with you. And I think that has, again, that's come from like this intense discipline about really learning about myself and really giving myself the reverence that I deserve. And then health, definitely. I'm healthier than I've ever been. So if we take like the typical, what does a sexy, pretty, Insta-worthy woman look like? And you take my 23-year-old body and you take my 39 almost year old body, probably the 23-year-old body is going to win out. But I know that I am happier in my body. I love my body more. I nurture my body more. I feel stronger in my body. I feel safer in my body. And I actually probably think I'm physically more attractive than I've ever been. And that's not because my face has changed. If anything, it's gone the other way. It's got wrinklier and, you know, all of those things. But I think real happiness, I think that shines through. And I think that the inner beauty really has an effect on outer beauty. And then my level of self-worth. You know, because I trust myself. I trust myself that when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I trust that because I prove it to myself every day with the discipline that I have in my thoughts, the discipline I have in what I feed myself physically, mentally, spiritually, creatively, and then the discipline that I have with my spiritual practice. I've been asked a lot recently, Em, I feel like I'm out of control, and you don't have control over the universe, but you do have this huge, untapped level of control with you. And again, like when I talk about discipline, I'm not like talking about, right, that's it. Never going to eat a chocolate bar again. That's not discipline. That's willpower, and willpower breaks. We all know that willpower breaks. It's like the New Year's resolution shit, isn't it? Well, I'm never drinking wine in the week again. Next Wednesday, whoop, there it is. You know, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week. Come February, you don't even know where your gym membership card is. That's because you're relying on willpower. Whereas discipline, healthy discipline, is not about berating yourself. It's not about denying yourself anything. I don't deny myself. It is a way to build my integrity so that I can have more. And that, I think, is a very untapped source of control that people aren't recognizing that they have, because they're looking to control their external circumstances. Whereas discipline is about controlling your internal circumstances. So that whatever happens externally, you will always be okay. And I think if everybody had that level of self-trust, then the global change that we could see in terms of how the world is operating and how the human species is evolving, I think that is fucking powerful. And that is exciting.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion.
a daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.
Good morning, you're awesome.